Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good early evening, everybody. And this is the Sunday show from Here Be Monsters with Jack Jodell from Saturday Afternoon Post and myself, Gwen Berry, from the Round Trees 7 blog. So is Jack, by the way. And our guest today is supposed to be Brian Stetton, but I guess he's a little late, and in the meantime, the noontime. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing well, Gwen, and I hope you're doing well, too, and everybody out across the country that's listening. A very nice Sunday evening to you, and we certainly have a lot of news this week that we'll be discussing and
speaking
commenting
of which,
on, so.
Yeah, we've got breaking news, and you'll hear this where you might not hear it anyplace else, apparently. NATO airstrikes have killed 11 children so far in Afghanistan. This is Kabul, Afghanistan, and I'm taking this off of the Huffington Post. A fierce battle between U.S.-backed Afghan forces and Taliban militants in a remote corner of eastern Afghanistan left nearly 20 people dead, including 11 Afghan children killed in an airstrike and an American civilian advisor. Officials said today, and this is just something that is breaking right now. And I'm going to tell you what, if there's, what is it? They used to be called Blackwater, now it's Z. These are the people that are primarily over there making the strides forward.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're making plenty of dough off it, too.
Right, and airstrikes still have to be called in. They have to be maneuvered from the ground. So this doesn't bode well, and it never has, and it's like the drone attacks. It's unfortunate to begin Sunday that way, but that's how it is. 11 kids, 11 little children, and the pictures are there. And this is a progressive blog, Huffington Post. I don't always think they're completely on target. I don't think that they're corporate-less either, but they are progressive.
Yes.
And they're putting the information out there where you're not going to really hear it as clearly on the.
Well, you'll hear it all
media.
Garbled on mainstream media. We've been over that so many times. You only get part of the picture or none at all. It's really unfortunate, but you can't rely on conventional news anymore the way you used to be able to in the old days. So that's why hitting the internet and all the possible sources you can get are better. And so are looking at foreign news sources like Al Jazeera and things that specialize in things that you don't see everywhere else, like Democracy Now! And other shows on Link TV. And places like that are far superior to NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News, which is absolutely not news. It's manufactured propaganda.
Isn't it really some of that essence of horse shit you asked me to come up with for Mr. Shaney? I always did say if I had ruby red glass bottles, little tiny ones, and I stuck essence of horseshit onto the countertop and put a $40 price tag on the bottle, because it's a red bottle, people would just scoop it up. And really? That's a great metaphor for Fox News. They package it all pretty, wrapped in fear and drama for people to grasp onto. I'd love to see the way they're putting this out. It's like probably that the Taliban, took over controls of the NATO strikes or something. I don't know.
Yes, they'll come up with some crazy nonsense.
They'll come up with some kind of horseshit. And to give a plug to one of our wonderful compadres here on the net, I have some of the latest stuff coming off of the Citizen Journalists Exchange, which is, of course, our friends at Worldwide Hippies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're posting today about the ATF seeking the massive database of personal information, assets, relatives, associates, and more. The recent solicitation from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms reveals that the agency is seeking massive online database capable of pulling up individuals' personal information. And, of course, connections and associates. And, of course, we make this very you're very careful. But I make it very, because it's good for business. I'm connected up to what I enjoy and what I like and what I support. And it's freely accessible on the net. So ATF would like to access that information for their data bank. So there you go. Nothing is, I've said this before, if you don't want to be a part of the net, you know, just don't get out there. Don't put you, if you don't want anybody accessing your information that you give freely, then you have to consider you can't be on the net, is my point.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Anonymous also this week launched a massive cyber assault on Israel. And,
really?
Yeah. The crime of apartheid is defined by the 2002 Rome Statute of International Criminal Court as inhumane acts of a character similar to other crimes against humanity committed in the context of an internationalized regime of systematic oppression and domination by one racial group over another racial group.
Well, that would fit the pattern, that's for sure, what Israel's been doing to the Palestinians.
Absolutely. And the hacktivists over at Anon have launched a massive cyber attack. This is the second one against Israel, dubbed Op Israel. And basically, they're wanting to disrupt and erase Israel from cyberspace for their actions against the Palestinian people and their needs.
Interesting. You know, I just in the mail 2 days ago, I already threw it away, but it was from an organization, I believe it was called Jewish Voice or something, and I don't know how I got it because I'm not Jewish and I don't subscribe to Jewish things. I don't, you know, dislike Jewish people. I don't, but I just, you know, don't subscribe to Jewish publications. But all of a sudden I got it in the mail, and it was a questionnaire. It was similar to a lot of the right-wing stuff you get, only it wasn't quite as you know, offensive, let's put it that way. But it was clearly pro-Israel because it asked about, do you believe the liberal media is, you know, anything that, any question that asks something about liberal media, you know, it's half-cocked because there's very little liberal media anymore. But do you believe the liberal media is out to get Israel and all this kind of stuff? And does it fairly support the Israeli position and all that stuff? And, you know, we haven't really discussed this at length, but I think it deserves being said that Israel is not behaving very nicely these days. Now, I understand their
reason. To put it mildly.
Oh, yeah. I understand their reason for paranoia because they're surrounded by hostile neighbors. But, you know, they keep pouring gas on the flame, especially regarding the Palestinian people. They're occupying their country. They're forcing people off land so that they can resettle it and repopulate it their way. I mean, it's just, it is apartheid.
Well,
it's terrible.
They're pushy, it is. And in one group of people, one culture, you would figure that would be sensitive to the sovereignty of another culture being able to have the faith they wish to express, to have their land unassaulted or unimpinged or not stolen. Would be the Jewish people. Israel was created, after all, because they were thrown out of their own homes into the streets and spat upon and
well,
done badly by. And
gassed and killed during World War II. You know, I mean, they should be, I think what they've done, I think they've become hypersensitive since the Nazis were defeated. And they viewed Palestine as strictly their territory. Well, even this Jewish thing that was in the mail, do you support the statement, it was some Bible verse they quoted, that God had supposedly said that years ago that the Israels would be occupiers of this land, you know, freely for till the end of time or something? It was really cocked, you know, it was just crazy.
Well, Jack, let's face it. I mean, for the last almost 15, 20 years, we've had neocon Jews or neocon Israelis in the gosh darn Knesset, and
well, you've got one heading the government over there right now.
every time. Yeah, that guy, BB is an SOB. And he's into the fear. And how these folks can actually go about being so, you know, absolutely, just bald-faced prejudice, bald-faced apartheid, bald-faced. If you look at videos coming out of Israel right now that have, you know, the youngest generation, kids in their teens, embracing racism so openly, you know, it's really, you know, Brian, I got your mic open. It's hot. So, welcome.
Hello, Brian. You're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry, I thought you said the call 10 after 6.
Oh.
When I saw the message, a message from you saying you're on the air now, call. It, you know, 10 minutes ago, I didn't realize you wanted me on sooner. But it's a great pleasure.
Welcome to Brian Stetton from Progress Towards Democracy. Thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
It's a great pleasure. And who's your other guest, Gwen?
No, my co-host is Jeff Jodell, remember?
Hi, Jeff. Sorry.
Yeah, hi, buddy. I'm easy to forget. No problem.
Oh, God.
Must be very easy. No, I apologize.
No problem.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. Good to hear from you again.
Yes. I guess there was a rant I made, which I don't remember all of it exactly, and you invited me on over that rant.
Yes,
yeah.
And I was trying to find it on your page, and I couldn't, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, Brian's going to come on, and I'm going to say, well, ran away, will you please, because I can't freaking find it now.
Basically, the rant was, Department of Homeland Security and the FBI have been actively investigating and infiltrating Occupy as terrorists. As if people holding signs or sitting doing drum circles are a great threat.
Unbelievable.
And right-wing militias, on the other hand, continue to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Occupy has been too peaceful. So perhaps next time around they should be holding up signs saying a message to the 1%, die, motherfuckers.
Yeah. You know, it's like Vietnam relived all over again. I thought we learned something from our experience in Vietnam, but I guess we really didn't. Certain segments of our society will always engage in this paranoia, and especially certain segments of the government will always be out to get people. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the media is so heavily controlled. We kind of rewrote history, especially with the Vietnam era. There's this notion out there that peaceful protesters were spitting on returning Vietnam War veterans and so forth, and actually that's been very false.
Yeah,
that was totally made up. There was a sociological historian who came out with a book called The Spitting Image, and he said there is no documentation or photo anywhere of a protester spitting on a Vietnam veteran. It was just completely...
Well, you know, they ginned the public into believing that the Vietnam guys were all heroes, it was a just war and all this other stuff, and we know otherwise. Now, a lot of these guys were kind of victims of circumstance. They got drafted, they went and did their time, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they shouldn't have been vilified if they were by anybody. But on the other hand, you know, they just did their job, and they came home quietly, and the public is acting like we completely rejected that generation, don't want to have anything to do with them, they're all outcasts, and that's a gross overstatement.
There's a lot of myth-making that was in there.
Right.
To top it off. The grassroots hatred toward Vietnam vets didn't really exist, which doesn't make any sense anyway. I mean, half the protesters were themselves veterans of that war. They came back.
Ask John Kerry.
Gentlemen,
exactly.
I have to ask you, are we going to take call-ins today? Because we do have a call-in. Would you like me to take
please.
A call-in?
Let's do it.
All righty. Just a minute here.
Okay. Caller is always welcome.
Okay. Area code 301. You're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
301. Area code 776-6552. Okay. Looks like it's somebody just listening to the show. All righty.
That's okay. I mean, other countries directly interfere with their media in a very intrusive way.
Right.
I think about a year ago, China, for example, put a ban on time travel shows. You know, you can't have science fiction shows that use the concept of time travel. You know? Yeah. I mean, in other words, it's the possibility of questioning history. And here we just sort of rewrite it, and the public doesn't even notice. Yeah,
right, I know.
I was having a conversation last night, actually, with my dinner guests about the history I learned, and I'm really grateful I had civics class, something we don't have anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But
right.
The history I learned, a lot of it was just out and out tinsel. It was just garland to hide the true facts of history. This is a country built on slavery, basically,
right.
You know, its foundations. And if we can accept and embrace where we come from and see what light there was, what goodness there was in it, which, you know, right now, how can you find much, especially in light of where we are standing right now as far as being slave labor again.
Yeah.
You know?
People need to read Howard Zinn's marvelous book,
People's History.
People's History of the United States. It's
yeah.
great because it tells what really happened through the eyes of real people in the population, the working population, who was in fact exploited and cheated, and you don't hear much about that in history.
No, I mean, this wasn't everybody equal settled in America, and a group of people just happened to work really, really hard, and they got rich, and everyone else was lazy.
and all the other guys were lazy. Yeah, what a bunch of crap.
Very
good.
Yeah. I mean, you had, as people got off the boats, you had some people that were indentured slaves, basically sold themselves to work for somebody to be able to escape England and agreed to be a slave for a set number of years. And other people were given land grants from England, and so were wealthy right at the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was a highly stratified society right at the very day one, day one. And it's just getting worse. And now we see that the society is highly business controlled.
And, the country realistically was founded by aristocrats. And it's a miracle that we turned out as egalitarian as we have, in spite of that, in spite of their early influences.
Well,
and,
not
you know,
all of them were bad guys either, guys. Come on.
Right, very true.
Let's remember there's some structure, there's some integrity, there's some good stuff in there, too.
Oh, yeah, right.
The thing is if it wasn't for
powerful labor movements that had some success, we wouldn't be egalitarian at all. And that's been reversed. So for decades and decades, you had labor fighting for 40-hour work, 40-hour work week, for example, over a period of 80 years, costing the lives of 700 workers shot by Pinkerton Securities and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Needlessly.
And they finally got it, and the 40-hour work week has been getting whittled down.
The points being made in the chat room too, that the 1% or the overlords, whatever you want to call them, in time too. I mean, historically, one of the great tools that has been used with people is the control of the masses through isolation and fear, and that is breaking down in front of their eyes. And I'll give you a very good example of that. I will give you Here Be Monsters, Progress Towards Democracy, Democracy Now, AWOP Radio, all of the different voices that are stretching out to be heard. and are being heard one another across borders and and all over the globe right now. People are coming together, and you know the most repetitive thing that I've known, the repetitive factor in all of this is people are basically saying it's not us. We like each other. We enjoy each other's differences. We share for the most part. It's our leadership we understand is at fault for this. This is, of course, people who have
very true
open minds.
Most other countries have a much greater sense of community.
Yeah.
I have a friend that comes from China, and he's amazed at how, you know, individualistic our society is. You know, so
good word for it, because that's exactly what it is. There's very little communal action here in this country. And what is there, they're trying to stamp out.
So forth. Well, it's always been that way here. It's just gotten much worse, I would say, over the past decade.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a documentary called The Century of Self, which talks about the increase in mass industrialized production of consumer goods and how Madison Avenue just geared up to turn our society into mass consumers.
Yes, exactly.
And to be consumers, you have to be more individualistic and focused on yourself.
Right.
Having a hot new toy.
Well, they've done a great job at it. I'd applaud them for that only.
And they've ruined the individual trade of the craftsmen in the small community and the large community. I mean, large cities used to have the corner cobbler, the baker, all of this. This has all been crushed for the assembly line consumerism that we were pointed towards. I mean, even Saks Fifth Avenue does it.
Well, and with the onset of the big multinational corporations running virtually everything, you know, the old touch just isn't there anymore, and they wonder why people are alienated and why people are, aren't as productive as they'd like them to be, even though labor production is at record heights right now.
Well, and let me point this out. Do you know where you find all the little community makers and creators and artisans and people with the ideas for how to make a new window system for your home and all? You'll find them right here in
small
this
business
community.
Yes, yeah, small community-based businesses.
Small businesses, and you're going to find them right here in this community, this online community.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a rejection of corporate America. I mean, worker cooperatives are growing, for example, at a very rapid clip. And when I called in your show, was it a time baking, it was called, an attempt for alternative currency outside the system and so forth. But it's my concern is the same, that it doesn't threaten power. So it doesn't threaten the power that basically controls the government, which is corporate power, rich elite corporate executives and so forth.
We're a corporatocracy.
And until that is threatened, we can't, we can't recapture democracy.
What actually essentially makes those big wheels turn are all of the, are the smaller wheels at the top. The big cogs that make the industry turn are all of us consumers and makers. And, it's like there are positive, what I'm going to get to is there are positive aspects of what the changes are and the dire straits we come to. Entrepreneurship and entrepreneurism is becoming the way to create a new world, really. And I hear the guys every time. It's the guys, because most of the women doing radio or information or business online realize that even though they would like to stamp us out, make us pay, isolate us online, the cat's out of the bag. They can't do it. And if they do that, the commerce that has been created and what is sustaining societies really now through the internet is just going to fall down. So they really can't put a stamp on us. It's like trying to use one person to put a screen door on the ocean. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, the trend nowadays is for corporate heads to earn all, to take all the money out of corporate business and stick it in their pockets and dribble out little tiny piss dribbles here, there, and everywhere to everybody else. That can't continue. That is not self-sustaining for a healthy economy, and they've got to come to the realization that they've got to spread the wealth, whether forced to by the government or by labor unions or some entity has to do it, because that's the only way you'll get more participation in the economy. You'll get more buying, you'll get more everything, more production, everything.
Yes, I think that a new type of socialist revolution
has to occur for people to be able to recapture the commons. The commons being property that is publicly owned. I mean, for example, a good example of commons, public schools. Okay, so we see these
things
to effectively dismantle the system and replace it with charter schools. So it's destroying the teachers' unions, but also, you know, getting rid of public education and reforming it in such a way as to force
favor the rich,
the more obedient. Favor the rich.
Well, and it's training people to go in the directions that corporatism would like to see society head.
Yeah, it's rechanneling people. They talk about social engineering. What is big business doing? It's trying to social engineer the entire country.
Well, but it's failing because there's an even greater crisis right before all of us and everything that comes this. And I wish JG would call in because she has that great site over on Facebook of Earth Matters. And she's often, I think she's often called.
Glenn, unfortunately, I don't think it's failing. It's not failing for them. They keep getting richer.
But the crisis is right in front of us, and things are going to be failed. What's going to happen in the next 12 months when the Gulf of Mexico turns gray? They're not testing fish now.
Yeah.
How long are they going to be able to keep lying on television before people?
Recently the tar sands oil spill that occurred in Arkansas in a subdivision, a city called Mayflower Subdivision, where ExxonMobil basically is the police. I mean, basically the government's working for corporate, you know, entities.
Oh, yeah, we all know that.
The police are keeping reporters away, and they put a no-fly zone over the city. Right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They try to lock it up.
They don't want to damage any. They don't want any damaging information against tar sands because they want to run a pipeline all across the country.
And you know, Kim is saying something very important here in the chat room. She's saying, don't forget, the public is addicted to much of the poison that they produce.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's true, too.
And that's a truth, too. I mean, we need to become more European.
That's why the people, the population needs to retake the government so we can have radical change.
Yes, my friend, you're exactly right.
For all of us to, say, switch to electric cars or something, I mean, that would take government help. That would be like a massive type of cash for clunkers program and so forth and so forth. But, you know, the government's instead working against us.
Right.
You know, and more interested in pushing austerity. And it looks like Obama's probably going to approve the Keystone Pipeline, by the way.
Yeah,
I think he is, and that's a real tragedy.
Because when asked about it, he said it doesn't fit with middle class priorities. Workers are more concerned about jobs, and so this will probably.
That's the excuse they'll use for doing so. Yeah. Oh, look at the jobs it'll create. That's always the excuse, but it doesn't work that way. Instead, it creates a lot of environmental problems and a lot of headaches across the country.
And right now, what's happening in Arkansas, plus Anita's in the chat, and she just brought up Bayou Corn or what's going on down in Assumption Parish. We've had John Ishii on the show a couple of times.
There's a big secret that Noam Chomsky pointed out, a very, very interesting secret there. You know, it doesn't matter which party a politician belongs to.
Whenever
a politician says jobs, just replace the word jobs with profits, and all of a sudden, makes exact sense what they're.
Very true.
Yeah, well, that's quite right.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons I think that, like, Bobby Kennedy, put himself into an arrest mode in front of the White House. I think he realizes that XL pipeline is going to be approved by the president too.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are, you know, more and more who are getting into the spotlight on this. The more the merrier, the better. Whether or not they're going to be able to do anything to actually stop this. Once it's been approved by this president, work begins, but it can be stopped. It can always be stopped. And perhaps it's going to take us being on, you're on the air too, Brian. Perhaps it's going to take us saying to people, you know what, we got to get out there. We got to get in front of those bulldozers like Sharif Hoyland and those guerrilla activists in Texas. My God, who are chaining themselves to bulldozers, putting their arms in the tracks.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that takes such courage because from my point of view, there's a lot of hard hats out there that if the company man says start the engines, they might do it. And if it slips into gear.
You bet they will.
Those people are losing their limbs and lives.
Look, they beat up Vietnam protesters during the Vietnam War. What do you think they'll do about a pipeline that might threaten their employment or something? You know, they'll run people right over.
As Brian was saying.
That was my point about the way that the Occupy protesters were treated.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago. I mean, and there it was known that. Basically, there was a teleconference of mayors that was with the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI, and basically they were instructed, you know, how to handle the protesters. It was no coincidence that every city labeled the protest camps as some kind of health risk, and that they were all attacked by the police at like 3 in the morning. And you had the same type of the cops using intimidating tactics, slashing the cops with cardboard box cutters, and so it's not a coincidence that the methodology from city to city was the same.
The Department of Homeland Security is overseen right next door to that White House. You can't tell me
It looks like it was. Marching orders probably could have started from the Department of Homeland Security Congressional Subcommittee, which is chaired by Peter King. And we know what kind of nutcase Peter King is like. And most likely had the blessings of, you know, the White House, Obama, I'm sure. Yeah, and so it goes.
There's a lot of co-working of this stuff. It's not strictly a Republican thing or, you know, there's a lot of bad Democrats, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, all the mayors of the major cities, they were all Democrats, pretty much, with the exception of Bloomberg, who's an independent. Mm-hmm. There's corporate involvement. That teleconference is run by an organization called the Police Executive Research Forum, which is a partnership structured together by Motorola. Mm-hmm. Recently, there was some documentation that came out that the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security had daily briefings, questioning whether or not Occupy could be a domestic terrorist threat.
How pathetic. How utterly ridiculous, really, when you think of it. But, you know, this is all egged on by people like the Koch brothers and people like that want to stir the pot and really screw things up. You know, they've got their hand in it, too.
Like Koch brothers. That was not initiated by any Koch brothers or any Republican.
No, but there's enough of that out there.
That was initiated by the administration that's sitting in the White House right now.
Right.
Actually, I would say it was initiated by both. It was pretty much bipartisan. You know, so I wouldn't say Obama started it. I mean, we don't know if he was reluctantly pulled along.
He's too weak to stand up to it.
It doesn't matter. I agree. I mean, Obama is center right at best.
It's
when Republicans call him a communist. It's laughable. You know, wish.
Well,
it is. It's pathetic.
Just slapping each other around, and the point is that it basically what it is that. There's no difference between, we have to stop making the difference between progressives, liberals, Democrats, Republicans, but we have to make the line, the illumination on spotlight on, is who's being paid by corporations with self-interest profits.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I consider ideological. I mean, I consider ideologies important. I mean, I think that, I mean, I've run across a number of occupiers. You know, unfortunately, the left has been destroyed into pretty much nothing. I mean, we're sort of in an era of what is called neo-McCarthyism, where if you try to even talk about, say, what were the positive aspects of the Soviet Union, you're shunned.
Even
though
but not my crowd, guys. I mean, you know, come on.
Were definitely there. I mean, they had a guaranteed job program, so there was pretty much no homeless, starving people in the Soviet Union when they existed. They had universal health care. You know, an abortion and so forth.
Well, wait a minute, Brian, that's not exactly true. There was huge poverty, there was starvation, and there was freezing to death in many parts of the Soviet Union when they
actually, it's false. I would say that's
during
true.
During the Stalin era, that was very true.
Under Putin, it was. Yeah, it is. The Stalin, but we're not talking about Stalin. We're talking post-Stalin when the system's in place.
Exactly.
All right, I agree with you there.
There's debates about how many people were killed under Stalin, and some Russian political science professor put together data on how many people died during our Great Depression. And so, I mean, one can go back and forth about how many people stalled where.
Leadership. Who had the leadership at the time? Was Putin, and back was Stalin. These guys are despots,
Putin was part of the KGB, and basically took advantage of privatization efforts and became a billionaire. So I mean, he's super rich. I mean, Russia is now pretty much run by 16 plutocrats, and basically, their plutocrats don't get along with our plutocrats, so we consider them still an enemy of some sort. So, I mean, when you look at, so in America, considers a country an enemy, it's either because because they won't play along with our big business interests.
Because their big guys aren't towing the line for our big guys. That's the whole problem right there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, they're enemies. Either or a country that has a very different set of, So, I heard occupiers say, I don't believe in the left-right paradigm. Well, I mean, our politics has distorted the left-right paradigm terribly. But, I mean, it has a good historical definition that goes back to French Revolution era. In the French Parliament of that day and age, those that were more for the people and against having a king were called left, and those that were pro-monarchy were called right. And that pretty much hasn't changed. So those that are for hierarchy of some type are right-wing, and those that are more for the people are left-wing. And I don't think those concepts should be thrown out the window just because our politics has distorted. I mean,
I agree.
What's called left wing nowadays is crazy. The healthcare plan that Obama did was put together by Republicans, the Heritage Foundation.
Exactly, and they call it left wing. They call it socialist. What a joke!
I have to share this. My nephew, who's a junior in college, is tasked right now with doing a comparative project paper between China's medical system and the new system that Obamacare will be. And he's doing all this research, and he's been pretty much kind of middle of the road, but pro, the Democrats and progressives, but he didn't really know. He's listened to his mom and myself, but he's like, oh, you guys get so into it kind of thing, like any kid does. And basically, he texted me this week, and he said, this is his project, and he said, has he had a big awakening, or is he surprised? And he said, you know what's wrong with our government? Aunt Gwen, it's fucked.
It would be interesting to have him be a guest some week on the program, Gwen.
Corporations own everything! I said, congratulations on your great career.
I do think that we have to, I mean, for example, when people read about communism and, you know, get scared about the notion of private property being revoked. And, the thing is, most people don't own, most people have a mortgage, so they don't really own their home. It's owned by a bank.
Right.
Or they have a car loan.
The bank makes you believe you do, but you really don't.
You don't.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are finding that out, you know, over the last few years, increasing foreclosures. So, I mean, most, over 50%, I think, of this country is owned by less than 1/10 of 1% of the country.
We're not egalitarian when it comes to economics, that's for damn sure.
No.
We never really have been.
No, never. It's just gotten a lot worse when we went from industrial capitalism to finance capitalism under Ronald Reagan.
It's gotten
much worse. And some of the right-wingers recognize it and bash bankers. And unfortunately, you have right-wing activists that just hate the banking sector. They need to look at the entire system. If you just hate the bankers and you have a number of CEOs that happen to be Jewish, then it leads to anti-Semitism, and that's no good either.
No, right, exactly.
Yeah,
we missed the boat on a lot of arguments. There's no doubt about it. And our media is no help at all because it distorts things and it channels them the way they want you to believe, and it's not right either.
Well, and that's because it's corporately
owned
media.
Yeah.
You know, we, the audience, are just part of the product that's sold to corporate advertisers and sponsors. And so, you have all those filters that basically emits a lot and can't go across certain lines.
Right.
And you can't, offend the sensibilities of corporate ownership. And like during the Iraq War, Phil Donahue on MSNBC was highly critical of the war. And a memo was put out in MSNBC, we can't have this, we need to get rid of this guy. And at that time, MSNBC was fully owned by General Electric. Microsoft also was a partner. But GE and Microsoft were both huge defense contractors. They couldn't have a guy go against it. Party line, so they got rid of him.
It's too bad because he was such a voice of conscience. He was such a clear voice of conscience, and he is missed.
He worked
Phil
on some movies.
Phil Donahue. I miss Keith Olbermann. Okay, I've had my weekly Keith Olbermann plea come home. Okay,
Last I heard, Keith Olbermann is probably going to go back to sports, most likely ESPN.
He's already done that. He's already done that. Doesn't mean he's going to stick there. And I think, he has a huge talent for what he was doing. I don't think you walk away from that kind of enlightenment.
He completely revitalized MSNBC from an also-ran into the number two news network in the country, behind Fox News. He re-energized that entire company. He brought Rachel Maddow on. He brought Lawrence O'Donnell on. He did a lot of very good things.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing, though. The year that he left MSNBC, his mother was dying. When he was on Current and trying to get what they promised him and fighting back and forth with those guys and trying to create a show there, his father was dying. I think it took its toll on him psychologically and emotionally, and he's probably taking a self-imposed time out,
Let's hope, and let's hope he returns, because we need his very, very accurate and positive voice out there.
Is he going to be allowed back on? That's the thing.
That's the question.
Al
Jazeera took over Current, so maybe he'll find a niche there.
There are always places.
I'm not too hopeful about it. So Al Jazeera America announced its first hire. They hired a business news anchor from CNN, and they're going to have a business news show that basically is rah-rah Wall Street.
Oh,
so it sounds like they're doing what they can to be acceptable to our media. Which
you're
that's
kidding
a shame.
Me.
They'll have to learn.
When
they'll
they've been
learn.
So when they've been so exemplary on the other side of that, that's hard to it's really kind of hard to take. But you know,
yeah, really.
Current TV, its best effort was Oberman's Countdown. Even the Young Turks once were, you know, they once had some shine, but they're just so crepe. Our shows are more structured oftentimes and more informed than
Young Turks. I mean, Young Turks heavily criticizes Obama and the Democratic Party. It's all very nice, but they don't criticize capitalism itself. They sort
right.
of did what Dillard and Radican does. It's a
well, you know, Cenk Uygur was originally a Republican. You knew that.
Yeah. But I mean, they have it's sort of like the Dillon Radigan theme that capitalism isn't the problem, but you have to get the money out of politics.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what does that mean to get the money out of politics?
Well, they'll snip off the outer tumor and leave the cancer underneath.
Exactly. Perfect
mm-hmm.
analogy.
Yep.
And, you know, as even Marx made it clear that you can't really have a functioning representative democracy under capitalism. I mean, the
right.
politicians always get bought in one way or another, so you
right.
end up with a type of dictatorship of capital, which is
mm-hmm.
you can perfectly
which
describe.
Which is what we've got right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
that is.
You know, we see it all the time. I mean, environmental protection.
You know, the New Deal was a great thing, but it was only a Band-Aid. The Great Society was a Band-Aid. And, you know, we don't need Band-Aids. We need cures.
Well, they pretty much reversed a hunk of the New Deal.
Well, they ripped the Band-Aid off and let the store fester.
Exactly.
You know?
They absolutely made it so that it's rolled back to where it was before, you know, people were diving off buildings. And
yeah, mm-hmm.
as Brian suggested when he first came on, you know, when all of this was happening, there were a few signs in the streets in New York in 08 that, you know, said to bankers coming out saying that, you know, they didn't have a job or whatever when they were downsizing or closing AIG and such. And there were people in the streets who had, you know, signs that said, jump, you motherfuckers, you know.
Uh-huh.
You're
yeah.
at fault here. And really, they are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are, big time.
Yeah,
all the hedge fund managers who gambled with money, people's money, and destroyed the worldwide economy for their own benefit, short-sighted and stupid as hell, but they got away with it.
And there's
none of them are sitting in jail, and they all deserve to be there.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, there was a political scientist that was studying why is, you know, the same type of neoliberal capitalism perfectly maintained, even though we have constant crisis and failures. And
right.
the reason is because power is happy with it. You know, I mean, in other words, the rich are still getting rich. So as long as...
Well, it's crisis capitalism in action.
Not going to change. Not going to change. Exactly.
Yep.
You know, it's just a debate over whether it's called crony capitalism or it's the institutions themselves that are failing. I don't consider... I mean, I think the concept of crony capitalism is false. It's like saying greedy capitalist. A capitalist is supposed to be greedy. If you run a corporation, your goal is to always seek higher profit. And if that means perverting the politics to help you reach those goals, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
do whatever it takes to get that profit.
Exactly. You know, if you run a large company, you trade, and you want to see your stock go higher, you're
mm-hmm.
taking your marching orders from your larger shareholder. Hedge fund managers play a big role in that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you do whatever it takes to make sure. Otherwise, you lose your job. You get
mm-hmm.
replaced. So it's
yeah.
the very nature of the structure of our institutions. That's the problem. You know, that's why I don't think there's a simple reformist get the money out, quote unquote.
No, that carpet needs to be completely ripped up and you know, overhauled big time because it's
most,
in bad
most
shape.
Don't see it. Most people don't see it because alternative economies have been demonized in this country for years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, again, that's the neo-McCarthyism I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah.
They don't see an alternative. Even most of the
mm-hmm.
people that participated in Occupy, when they were
mm-hmm.
polled, their number one issue was, quote-unquote, get the money out of politics. So even with Occupy, so it wasn't, you know, it had an anti-capitalist overtone, and it was by definition from the left, because whenever a movement comes from the grassroots like that, it's such an extreme left wing. But it, there was no left wing ideology, or, you know, it's not like the 1930s where you had an active communist party that was sending mimeograph papers to labor unions and getting everyone to march in lockstep.
Yeah, and they were very effective too.
Very effective.
Yeah.
Very effective.
We need a return to that without the excesses. We need a return to that. And if and when it occurs, I'll be behind it 100%.
Well, I mean, it's up to us.
Gentlemen, at this moment, I'd like to take a moment for a break to please remind folks that Progressive News Network with Richard Spisak is on at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on Blog Talk Radio. And his guests today are going to be Alan Hendricks and Debbie Frazier on the Supreme Court, Congressman Patrick Murphy, who trounced, what's his name, don't you? Can you ever remember Alan West. And getting for the Treasure Coast. Trey Kindred updates the Bradley Manning situation, and Cheryl Davis Durrell talks about the legal needs of activists in South Florida. So that's Progressive News Network today at 7 p.m. right after us. I just wanted to get that in there.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
Also remind everybody that we are sponsored by Roundtree 7, that's the number 7.com. This is a blog that brings knowledge to the social consciousness, and also to highlight the the Commons Project Network. Okay, I had to sit and think a minute.
Worldwide Hippies.
I like that name. May I plug my show? Tomorrow night at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Progress Toward Democracy on Blog Talk Radio, me and Ruthann Armarte-Fio will be interviewing Danny Whale, who is a writer for periodicals like Dissident Voice and Truth Out, whose specialty is basically focuses on the corporatization of public schools and how it's basically creating a slave class. Especially, he did an excellent video where he pointed out that Obama's plan is to increase the number of college graduates by the year 2020 by 60%. Most of these college graduates are going to end up with at least a decade's worth of high debt, and sometimes in excess of $100,000.
So
we're creating a new class of slaves. You know, I mean, if you were unable to find work, over half the college graduates can't find work, and you get a minimum wage job, and you have trouble paying it off, the government will garnish those wages.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that'll be on tomorrow night at...
Tomorrow night at 11?
At 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. Eastern. Progress Towards Democracy on Aaron Martifeo. And I also wanted to remind folks that right here on Here Be Monsters on Friday evenings at 10 p.m., not 11, but 10 p.m., you can hear Anita Stewart with Wise Woman Media. Thursday evenings at 7 p.m., you can hear Nick and I on The Consciousness Shift. Next Sunday, we will have Sheree Foytlin on
today's
show for 2 hours. And she is going to be actually chronicling as the activist who I remember hearing, you know, from the moment she called out to the president on CNN and every step she's taken since. And so from the moment she began, we're going to get her chronicle of activism and motherhood under activism.
She's been exemplary as far as that activism goes. She's been incredible.
She's stunning. And so there will be 2 hours of Sheree and her story, which it bears to all of us. Also, one other announcement. In the next week, we'll have another new show on Here Be Monsters with Joni Ross, astrologer. And I don't know what the name of that show is going to be, but she's going to do more than just talk about the magnetic influences of the moon and planets. She's also going to address other interesting topics. So please look for Joni Roth coming up in the next in this month on Dear Big Monsters. And thank you, gentlemen, for letting me get that plug in. We still have
time. Let me plug in a couple more things then. This coming Wednesday at 11 in the morning, me and Ruth Ann will be pre-recording the show, which will be broadcast April 22nd. But audience members are still welcome to call in for it. I'll send you the info, Gwen, so you can share it with people. We'll be interviewing Jack Abramoff, who's the Detroit corporate lobbyist. Who now has apparently started his own Glenn Beck-like show. So that should be interesting, to say the least.
All right, guys. All right.
And April 15th at 11 o'clock, we'll be having an activist that's local to our area, Gwen, Andrew Kirshner, who's an animal rights activist. And also...
I've heard him talking about
plant-based diet. So
that sounds really wonderful.
Great.
And please don't forget, you can find Air Martifeo. There are lots of great shows right here on Blog Talk Radio, and also independent radio with AWOP Radio and Kim G. She's on our Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. She's got some great stuff over at her site. Wonderful shows that she's got.
Yeah, basically, we've become the labor press. You know, in the 1930s and so forth, the labor press would publish these newspapers and hand them out free that were critical of the system. They could never really grow in any way because, you know, since they were anti-business, they didn't have capital exactly. But, I mean, they got to enough of the people to, in other words... support labor unions.
They influenced the whole generation that way.
Yeah, so basically we're the equivalent of the labor press, which no longer will exist.
I think we're growing beyond that. We have the ability to reach so many more people. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful alignment that you make, though, Brian. I thank you for joining us today. Really,
yeah, thanks for being on tonight, Brian, and please come again.
Yeah.
Be sure, everybody, to listen to Brian's shows this week and all the other good ones that we've chronicled here today. And we'll look forward to hearing from Cherie Feutland next week and look forward to all the other good things happening next week as well.
How
so in the meantime, everybody...
You have a voice that no one can forget. Love hearing you again. And,
good
Gwen,
to hear from you too, Brian.
Love hearing you guys again. You have a good night.
And you too, and everybody stay progressive.
I think everybody should remain really quite radical, but that's just me.
You know me, I'm the polite one.
My rich building friend from the progressive side of the street, Jack Jodell. And Saturday Afternoon Post, please go take a look at what Jack's putting up. He's got a lot of great information there, and it's illuminating. And again, thanks to Brian Stetton from Progress Towards Democracy for joining us this evening. And everybody,
and thank
out
you, Gwen,
there
for your your always glowing efforts.
Oh, thank you. Yes, well, reciprocal first needs to bring that into alignment. So, and it will. Thank you, everybody. This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. We're part of the Commons Project Network. Don't forget that. So we'll see you next week. And Jack, have a great week.
And have a great week, Gwen, and everybody out there listening. We'll talk to you again. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you, Jack.
All right, good night.
Good night, everybody. That's our show for this evening.